McMillan interviewing Mrs. Marion Haberly at her home, 95 Robin Hill Lane, Lakeville, Connecticut. The date is February 8, 2012. She will be talking about the history of the Taconic Learning Center. May I have your full name?
Marion Louise Reichardt Haberly.
And where were you born?
Lorain, Ohio.
Will you give me your birth date?
August 10th, 1919.
What is your educational background?
Well, after elementary school, that's obvious for everyone. I have a BA from Adelphi University and a BS from Columbia University, and BA from Adelphi, an MA from Columbia University, and an MLS from Long Island University.
How did you happen to come to this area?
We were ready to retire. Actually, Franklin had taken early retirement before I was ready, and had always liked this area. I was associated with Connecticut because my mother was born here and her parents had a farm here on in the area near the river, Connecticut.
Near the Connecticut River?
Yes. And we liked New York State, became very familiar with the lake area because we had two sons. Well, one went to college in Albany and the other two went to Cornell. So naturally, we did a lot of traveling in central New York and really thought of that would be a good place to retire to. But at the time, Franklin said, no, the New York State taxes are too high. So let's go into New England. And New England, other parts of New England didn't appeal. He didn't want to go too far north, figuring the Massachusetts and Vermont would be harsher winters. So we decided on Connecticut. Of course, the income tax came to Connecticut within a couple of years. But that's how, well, we just looked around. We had some friends who had bought property in Sharon and visited them and then visited around here and became interested in what was shown to us.
Good. Now, I know that you worked at Salisbury Central for a while. How did that come about?
Well, my neighbor was Catherine Shilko and Bill, and they, in speaking about it, I had said I had just retired as a librarian, and Catherine, who worked at the school, said, oh, we have a librarian who's going to be on leave or sabbatical, I guess.
Yeah.
And we need someone to cover that. Would you like to do it? So.
And you did.
I did.
Do you remember, was it just the 1 year that you were there?
It was either one or two.
I think it was two.
Yeah.
I think it was two. And then you got involved with oral history. That happened about 1982.
Yes, I think right away I was interested in oral history. It was something that fit into the things I enjoyed doing. And I also really was anxious to learn more about the history of Salisbury because this was new to me. And I think there probably had been a little notice in the paper about a meeting, and I went to it at the library. And at that time, there were some of the people with whom I became interested and associated. And this, I began to take part in it. And I think it was Holly Palmer.
It was.
Was the chairman.
Yes, it was.
And she was leaving. So they asked if I would do it.
And you said yes?
Yes.
And you did it for many years?
Yes.
And
yes.
You had a committee that worked with you.
Well, that's the way we functioned. I didn't do as much as you're doing.
I don't have a committee, it's just me.
Yeah, I realize that. And we would meet once a month at the library. Talk about people who should be interviewed. And in many cases, one or more of the members were interested in or knowledgeable about these people. And that's what led us to that. They said, well, we'll interview. So I took on the job of just providing them with what they needed, the recorders and tapes and so on. And they took care of contacting the person because they had said they was someone they knew and so on. And that's the way it progressed. We did a lot.
You did 117 interviews.
Yes.
And a lot of them had been transcribed. When I mm-hmm. took over in October of 2011, we only had 55 tapes that needed to be transcribed.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your committee had done a fine job.
Yes. The way we transcribed, as I say, I didn't do it as much as you do. I did transcribe a great number of them. And that was most interesting to me. But there were some of the committee people who wanted, who were willing to transcribe, or who knew someone who would do the transcription. So that was a great help.
Oh, yes.
Because, as you know, there are steps in doing it. It's not just putting a tape in a recorder and then taking it out and listening to it.
No.
There's a lot more to it than that. So, unfortunately, I couldn't do as much as I should because I got involved in other things.
Yes, and that's going to segue right nicely into the Taconic Learning Center.
Yes. Well, before that, there was something else I was interested in. But at any rate, I asked for help in the transcription. And then when I got it, I would go over it to edit and to copy. And the one person who did the most as far as that is someone that I think you probably know, and that was Libby Sisson.
I lived in her apartment house for 4 years.
Yeah.
And she was a fine lady.
Absolutely. And she did a fine job. I wasn't able to do, when I had to retire from this, I wasn't able to do much more than give a folder full of her original transcriptions to, it was Norm.
It was Norm then.
Yeah. So what happened to those, I don't know.
They sat in a box until yeah. I got on board, and
yes.
then I did some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you, yeah. can you tell me the year that you gave up the oral history? Was it in the 90s?
Yeah, but I would have to look it up. I've got that.
Okay.
And I would not want.
You don't want to.
I should have had those dates ready. I didn't know you were going to ask for them. But at any rate, I became interested in other things, and one in particular was related to the church. That year, I think, was 83.
Now, this was the Lakeville Methodist Church?
Yes.
Okay.
The minister was being transferred after being in the church for a long time.
That must have been Jerry Pollock.
It was Jerry Pollock. And I had started to help with serving the Rotary luncheons.
Oh, yes.
Which had been started by one of the, I don't remember her name, I never knew the person, I was just told about her. And she had said, why can't we women in the Methodist Church serve the luncheon to the Rotary meetings? And so Emmy Pollock, who was Jerry's wife,
yes,
was sort of in charge, and was certainly in charge. And she, I offered to help serving. It was something I did a great deal, not serving, but just taking, offering this sort of work at the church I had been in Floral Park. And so that was just routine for me. And when Emma and Jerry had to move, they asked me if I would take over
the chairmanship of the Rotary lunches.
That's right. That's right. Organizing it completely. And it was, I did that for about 13, at least 13 years. If you want particular dates and time, I've got that.
But, good.
But I don't recall all of it,
Well, Foster used to love Emma's meatloaf, and he wanted me to get the recipe for Emma's meatloaf, and I asked one of her daughters, and she said she couldn't give me the recipe because my mother can only make meatloaf to serve 50. She can't cut it down.
Oh. I remember.
Now, would you tell me how you got involved with the Taconic Learning Center? This is after you left serving lunch to the Rotarians in the Methodist Church.
Went over.
You moved into another area.
Yeah. Yes, somehow there was a course courses given at Winsted, at the college at Winsted. And some of the people who were instructors started to give them here in Lakeville. A few of the courses were given actually in the fellowship hall at the Methodist Church. And people were associated with them. Many of these were either on art or traveling. Just seemed to evolve from the interest that people had in going to hear about, well, in one case it was Machu Picchu, which was a number of the people in town went with a sponsored course by Winsted to the visit to Peru. Is that Peru? Yeah. And the then they started, the college itself started to give, organize some courses of history and so on. And the people in town went to it. Two people who were very interested in it and thought that it would be very worthwhile to start something here in town, Salisbury, Lakeville, were the Wagners. I think that Jean Wagner took a few of courses at Winstead, and she and her husband were really the motivators in organizing and getting people together.
What was her husband's name?
Herb. Yes, Herbert.
Were they from Lakeville?
No, they had moved here when they retired to the apartment in Sharon. I think it's called Sharon Green, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And eventually they took an apartment in the Buckley complex.
Mm-hmm. Great Elm.
Great Elm. So they really were motivators in getting this started, and for a time were the not only the organizers but the chairman.
All right.
Of that.
Now I know that you have a piece of paper from the early beginnings of this. Could you tell me who were the officers of the TLC back in 89?
Well, with the help of, or the motivation, I've been using that word too much, of the Wagners, we organized into a group that would present instructors and course. We really didn't get at that formal with courses, but we we're working around to it to get people organized and attract others in the community. And Jean was the president, but Herb never had an office, but he certainly was in there. And he also organized some of the courses. We had several on, a lot of them were on American history, and I remember him being interested. The people who, when they finally decided to organize as a group, Jean Wagner became the president, and someone else who lived in Sharon, Tori Summers, say you wanted to, became the vice president. I was secretary treasurer at that time. And we set up we always felt a program committee was important, and we still do. And Robert Steck and a man by the name of Thomas Maxwell, I remember his name, but I can't recall anything about him. They organized the program the first few years.
Was there a fee charged to attend these lectures in the beginning?
Yes.
And what was the fee?
Yes. I think I have those records. I don't think they set more than, say, $25 or $30. I'm not sure, but I can give you specifics. Mm-hmm. Because I kept, here I had the job as secretary treasurer, so I had to write down who had given money. And so that it would be a fee for everything that you attended, every interest that you wanted to take part in.
And I'm assuming that that money went for mailings and publicity. It did not pay the instructors.
No. And it still doesn't.
And it still doesn't.
Yeah.
And the fee now is $60.
That's right.
But you can take as many courses as you wish.
Absolutely. The courses are not charged individually. The $60 covers not just a term, but a whole year.
A whole year.
Spring and winter term. So.
And what a wonderful program it is that it has continued since 89 and is still going very strong.
The beauty of it is where we live.
Yes.
It's the people in the community who have an interest, or the ones who were interested in TLC and have continued, and their friends have continued, and they know somebody.
Networking.
Who had been, say, a professor at a college, who had a business, whatever. And we have been able to draw on their brains.
And it spread from Lakeville, Salisbury being the center. They now have like a satellite in Canaan at Gere, so that people from the Norfolk area, mm-hmm. as well as Sheffield and Ashley Falls, can come.
Mm-hmm.
So you have spread the area extensively.
Actually, we can't say that spreading started right at the beginning. No. That spreading came as we organized and became known. At the beginning, I look over this list. There are Cornwall people, there are Norfolk people who were in there originally.
Really?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. It
did draw from a wide area.
Right away.
Good.
It appealed.
Good.
And the appeal was because we had the talent who were giving the courses. And they really did a wonderful job.
Now, you're still involved with TLC, are you not?
Yes.
What is your function or position now?
Well, I've been working with TLC for a long time, but specifically, I have been handling the membership that comes in and recording the money that comes in, sending it on to the treasurer. That sort of thing.
Has the membership stayed the same, or has it grown?
It has always been about the same. On a level, thanks to someone who has a course that's very popular, very interesting, it has grown. Because I know names. Unfortunately, I know names, but I don't know faces. Unless I really make a point or I'm introduced to people, oh yes, I know, they were a member a couple of years ago or something like that. He is new as an instructor, and he has attracted so many people who must have known him elsewhere. We have a lot of new names on our list, and Robert Woodward, who is the chairman this year, and keeps track of, through our website, of how many are on our contact list, which is where we keep the information about members. And he said that this year we have increased our membership for the first time. It's been on a level for so long, but there's always been people who joined.
Good.
And who wanted it. In fact, people keep calling, maybe in July and August, what are the courses going to be next year?
Oh, excellent.
People look forward to that. And anyway, so there are a lot, there have been steady names, people who have always been members from the very beginning almost, but now we have a number of new people. a number of people who had, and this is not just the instructors, but it's also the place where we have our classes, the venue. We now give a number of courses in gear, and that makes it closer for some people to come, and if to come, say, from Sheffield, Mass, or from Norfolk, to come to a class. And the Norfolk people have increased lately.
Good.
So things have been looking up.
Excellent.
It's been a wonderful thing that the Wagners had started, but the theory and the essence and philosophy of it hasn't really changed. We still have people who ask, are we going to give bridge lessons? How about knitting lessons? And the answer is always the same. That is not the sort of thing we do.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Haberly. I appreciate your time and giving me this interview.
Okay.